spit it out, take it. Chew it up and swallow it. And let it bring forth fruit into your life. So we're going to begin to help. How many of you have been told I know this is out of order, Sherry, so I apologize in advance. Just know we're going to get out of order because I struggle sometimes following all my notes. Because I just want to get to the punchline. It's like, can we just get to the punchline? But unfortunately, I'm learning, like that crock pot, we got to get all the ingredients in there and we got to let it cook. Okay? Have any of you been told Galatians chapter 5, verse 16? If you put that on the screen for me. Galatians 5:16, that's one that we're going to look at. How many of you have been told this? I saw it up there, but not here. Galatians 5:16, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, have we ever been in a challenge, in a struggle, and someone says, well, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But then we don't know what it means to walk in the Spirit. What does that look like? How do I walk in the Spirit? Because see, I was taught if I will stop doing all the things of my flesh, then I'll walk in the Spirit. But that's not what the Scripture says. But I was taught that if I'll resist all this, my lust in my flesh... Okay, I'll keep it simple, and I'll only use me or the guys on the front two rows as examples. Oh, someone on the second row went, what? The corner over here is deciding, are we the front row or the second row? So if lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, does anybody struggle with those things? Okay, and we've all been told that if we'll just resist those things and get them out of our life, and if you know you have a weak spot, well, my weak spot is, you know, I might as well just go there. My weak spot might, oh, I got kids in the room today. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to adjust that one. Motorcycles, thank you. My Chevy pickup, that's exactly what I was picturing in my mind. It had absolutely nothing to do with 36, 24, or 36. It had to do with a Chevy pickup. Now, he who has an ear just heard what I said, right? I just connected everybody in the room. So if I'm looking at my Chevy pickup and I'm wanting to spend time with my Chevy pickup and I'm and that's where I'm looking at and I'm focused on, but I'm told, man, if I would just put it in its proper space, I feel like I'm yelling or I'm loud. Where's the sound guy? Can you bring me down just a little bit? I'll do my part and I'll try to let them adjust that. If I'll just, you know, park the Chevy truck in the garage and stay away from it, then I won't be drawn by it. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because the Scripture says, if I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what does it look like? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? So we gotta figure out what that looks like. We gotta figure out. So I wanna start with letting you know in Scripture, a spiritual person, one who has been born again, an individual who has been born again. That means you've believed in your heart, you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? It's really that simple. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That God raised Jesus from the dead, and he's coming back to take us home. At that point, he takes you out of the kingdom of darkness. He places you in the kingdom of his dear son. And then it's all about a relationship with him. It's about getting to know Jesus. It's about following the Holy Spirit. It's everything in life from that moment is about relationship with God. There's relationships around you, and they tend to feed in or pull out of that relationship. In Scripture, a born-again person is often referred to as spiritual or carnal. Spiritual or carnal. Okay, how many of y'all want to be spiritual? How many of you know you've been carnal? Raise your other hand, okay? That's the reality of that. Because you can be spiritual or you can be carnal. If you're an unbeliever, you're just carnal. You can't be spiritual. You've not been born again. There's no life of Christ in you. So if you've never been born again, all you get, that's where I got the phrase dogs bark, okay? Cows moo, cats meow, sinners sin. They don't know how to not sin. But what do believers do? Believe. Believers believe. And what do they believe? God's word. They believe God's word. It doesn't matter if I understand it or not, I believe it. It's God's word. It is not fouled. There is no error in it. It is complete. So if I'll believe God's word, I don't have to concern myself with anything else. We'll figure this out. We'll grow. We'll understand. All right. Hallelujah. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be in a couple of passages in Corinthians and Romans and things like that. So keep your fingers moving. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1 says, And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal and as babes in Christ. So here we have Paul the Apostle writing a letter to the church. He was not writing this to the world. He was not writing this to unbelievers. He was writing this to the church, to people who had been born again, people who are in Christ Jesus. Is there anybody who's in Christ Jesus with me? If you're in Christ, you've been born again, he's talking to us. And notice he says, brethren, that also means sisterin. Okay, brethren is also sisterin. All right, brothers and sisters. I could not speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal, as babes in Christ. Okay, that made us feel good. How many of y'all feel real good right now? You feel loved, encouraged, and blessed and all that? No, not really. You're insulting me. Well, look at verse 2. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Now, remember, he's calling them brothers. So they're born-again people. They're people who have been born again. They're in Christ Jesus. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They know how to speak in tongues. They know how to cast out demons. They know how to lay hands on the sick. They know how. For that matter, another place, could you turn me down a little bit more? I still feel like I'm shouting, and I'm trying not to. But I am excited, so I'll give room for that. So where was I in there? He says, I could not feed you, for until now you were not able to receive it, and still you're not able, for you are still carnal. Now look at here. Here's how you can know if you're being carnal. We could end at the end of this verse if we didn't want to go any farther. Because some of us just need to know, when am I being carnal and when am I being spiritual? Because remember, we're still trying to figure out what it means to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're trying to figure out what it means to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, or Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I think we've not taught people what it means to walk in the Spirit, and that's our goal. I want to help you understand how to walk in the Spirit, and it's not as hard as we've made it sound. It's so simple. Okay. For you are still carnal. Now look here. For where there is envy, don't anybody look around. Look straight ahead. Look at me, okay? Where there's envy and strife and divisions among the world. No. Among us. Where there's envy, strife, and divisions among you, because he's talking to the brethren and the sisterin. So if there's envy, if there's strife, if there's division among us, are you not carnal? Now the word carnal simply means fleshly, meaty, flesh. I'd tell you about carne asada, but then we'd all be back on the food thing. But that's where it came from. Are you still not carnal? For where there is envy, strife, you are not carnal, and behaving like mere men. You're behaving like mere men. Instead of children of God. Well, I'm only human. Well, then stop being only human and get born again. If you're only human, then you're only going to crack hell open. But if you've been born again, you can now be spiritual or you can be carnal. And carnal means you're fleshly. That means the things that are driving you, that get your attention, have to do with primarily, I'm going to go ahead and say, your five senses. What you see, taste, touch, and feel. And smell. Thank you. Yes. I almost forgot that. Think about that. That's simple. Out of the mouth of babes. We'll take it. The simplicity. If you smell smoke, what do you do? You do something. But do you respond in fear or wisdom? Little kids, children, like the ones he just said, I couldn't write to you as, but I had to, yeah. Children smell smoke, fire! The adult who put the food on to cook smells smoke and they walk in and unplug it. Back to the crock pot. Does that make sense? They just walk in and go, okay, something went wrong. Let's unplug it. Let's find out what's wrong. You see the difference? What are they being led by? They're being led by wisdom. They're being potentially the spirit. But they had to choose. Do you follow flesh or do you follow the spirit? We're learning how to follow the spirit. We're trying to figure out what does walking in the spirit look like. A spiritual person walks in the spirit. That's pretty deep, right? A spiritual person walks in the spirit. So look over, turn a page back, probably one, and let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15. Now, I know this one might be a little challenging for some. You may have to just grab a hold of this and let it plant down in your heart, okay? Because this might be a little meaty, so please don't spit it out. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Can you see that? He who is spiritual judges all things. Now let's get something straight. You are not a thing. Look to your neighbor and say, you're not a thing. You're a human being. Because we don't need to judge one another. Notice it says judge all things. This isn't talking about judging one another. We could go down that bunny hole. But not today. That's not where we're at. We're trying to figure out the difference between walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh. We're trying to figure out what it means to be spiritual. And here it says, but he who is spiritual, judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Or by no one? Yes, by no one. Well, I have a Yes, I have the same one. Now, that's one example of someone who is spiritual. Let me flip over here to Galatians 6:1. You can write it down. I don't think I gave it to him, so I'll just read it. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That was Galatians. Oh, she did get it. Thank you. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are not carnal, you who are spiritual. I'm just casting down a few thoughts. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. If you're carnal, when you come and find, because how many of y'all know I make mistakes? Okay? I have not always done what the Spirit of God has told me to do. Sometimes I have been carnal and followed my flesh. Okay? But if you're as carnal as I am, I don't need you to correct me. Because this scripture says, you who are spiritual. Maybe that's why we say things like, and I can't be the only parent who has had it up to here. I've had it up to here. Go somewhere and we'll deal with this later. Why? Because I'm carnal right now. And in my flesh, I'm going to light you up. So go away so I could be spiritual, so I could get back in the Spirit of God, so I can follow the Spirit, because the Spirit of God's going to tell me to whoop your behind. But if I do it in my flesh, I've disobeyed this scripture. Do we see the difference? We're trying to learn how to be spiritual. We're looking at what is spiritual. Those who are spiritual. See, we've been told, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But a lot of times we don't know the difference. And we didn't know that a spiritual person, one who is born again, is either spiritual or carnal in the scripture. If you're an unbeliever, you're an unbeliever. You're going to sin. But if you're spiritual, if you've been born again, you can be spiritual or you can be carnal. Most of the time, carnality is because you're immature. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just trying to be honest with you. Okay? I showed you that where there's envy and strife and every evil thing, it's because we're being carnal. A carnal person walks in the flesh. Carnal Christians are often called babes. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 5. Let me give you another. I'm going to show you what a carnal person looks like. Hebrews chapter 5. And again, we're putting together a crock pot here I'm actually trying to help teach something. I'm not preaching right now. This is the difference. The good news is the difference between teaching and preaching is about 45 minutes. There was your warning. Yes, there you go. Teaching takes us about an extra 45 minutes. Hebrews chapter 5, look with me at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Notice they're unskilled. It just means they're immature. It doesn't say they're not believers. It doesn't say that they're going to hell. It says they're just immature. It says that they're unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. See where, how far I wanted to take us. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For solid food belongs to those who are of full age, verse 14, and that those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, immaturity doesn't always recognize good and evil. It's real easy to only recognize evil if that's all you're looking for. If that's all you're seeking, you'll be quick. How many of y'all know? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me put it this way. If you came here to look for a flaw in the church, you'll find one. And you'll probably find him on the stage. But did you come here to find the flaws or to hear the word? Did you come to find how to fix me or how to grow with me? Because I'm offering you an opportunity to grow together. Okay? And like I said, I'll only use those on the front row as examples, including myself, without special permission. 1 Corinthians 3, go back there. I think I read that one already, but I have it in my notes again. Let me look and make sure. Oh, because I wanted to cover some more, but I think I did it in my hesitation or in my speed. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, did we read all the way through verse 4? Yep. Oh, no, we didn't. We didn't catch 3 and 4. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read the first two. Let me look at the next two verses here, verse 3 and 4. For you are still carnal, for where there is envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Verse 4 says, for one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am Apollos. Are you not carnal? He goes on to say that Paul planted and Apollos watered, but it's God who brings the increase. If we can start figuring this out, that if we'll walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And then we find out that God, our King, our Lord, is all about increase. He is a God of increase. He desires us. He gave us a commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. How can we go into all the world and preach the gospel when we don't know Him? We haven't let Him transform our lives. Does this make sense? What is the biggest... People don't want to go to church because they go, well, there's a bunch of hypocrites there. Or there's a bunch of this and there's a bunch of that. How many of y'all know if you let a hypocrite get between you and Jesus, they're closer to Jesus than you are? That wasn't in my notes. That one was free. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, we read verse 2 and 14. Galatians 5, 16, we looked at that. Let's look again at that. Because this is our key scripture, Galatians 5, 16. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do I know what that looks like? Help me. How many of y'all are familiar with the law of first mention? In the Bible, the law of first mention. Wherever it's mentioned first. This is why we say often, let's go back into Genesis. Okay, let's go back into Genesis. And that's absolutely, it's good advice. It's good counsel. Go back into Genesis. Okay? So walk in the Spirit that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5. How many of y'all know that Romans was the first book that Paul wrote. Paul wrote Romans, and Romans is basically the Genesis, if you will, for the New Testament church. He wrote Romans as the launching pad. Now, that doesn't mean you don't go back to Genesis as well. But if you find it in Romans, you can go back and you'll find it back here too. And you should be able to see this whole thing through. If we had time to go all the way back and see every time the Spirit of God came upon somebody, the difference that it made. Now, see, we're doing that in faith school. In faith school, we've gone all the way back and we're seeing men and women of God walk in faith. From the very beginning, We're getting their names from Hebrews 11, and we're looking at them and looking and going back, and they all started back here in Genesis. And we're barely up to Samuel right now. Hallelujah. All right. So in Romans, since Romans is the genesis of the church, if you will, the beginning place, it was the first book that Paul wrote. We can find things in here as a launching pad. So go with me to Romans chapter 8. Everybody familiar with Romans chapter 8? There's a lot of good stuff in here. So let me show you the first mention of walking in the Spirit. This is the first place that's mentioned in the New Testament, in our new covenant. Isn't the new covenant what you put your faith in?
Yeah.
Okay? Your faith is in the new covenant. That you have a new covenant based on new promises, better promises. You were not brought into the kingdom of God sacrificing bulls and goats. Okay? You can go sacrifice bulls and goats, but it ain't going to help you none. Another message another time. Galatians chapter 8, and I want to read a verse, and then we got to figure out why we're here. So Galatians chapter 8, look at verse 4 with me. Galatians, we can do 8:1, we can go to 4. How's that? Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. So here's the first mention of walking according to the flesh. But let's read on. But according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Look at this. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Now look at verse 4. That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now look at here. In us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Not those who are not born again, but those who have been born again. Those who will walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, this is all about relationship with God. This is all about being in Christ Jesus. This is about walking with Him and letting Christ who lives inside of you not just direct your life, but literally living your life from Him. From Him and for Him. Instead of all the carnal stuff. Because the carnal stuff will overwhelm you. If you're overwhelmed, simplicity of being overwhelmed is get out of the flesh, be born again. And if you're born again and you're just being carnal, I'll say it in love. Can I say it in love? Grow up. Just mature. Let the Word of God transform our lives. Quit thinking stupid and stick to the notes, Paul. Stick to the notes. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So how many of y'all know that Romans chapter 7 came before Romans chapter 8? Nod your head. All right, nod your head. Look like you know what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 7 came. So I'm going to help you see Paul's testimony. And this is going to require some reaction back and forth. So this is going to let you talk, okay? I'm actually going to give you permission to talk here for a minute. I'm going to give you permission to agree with me. All right? So every time I say the word I need you to be counting them. So the first time I say I, what are you going to say? And the second time I say I, what are you going to say? Gus, you're not allowed to talk. The third time I say I, what are you going to say? All right, we're all on the same page. All right, so let me read 10 verses here. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Paul's saying he's carnal here. Did you catch that? Okay, I'll read it again. I'll start over. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, I do. If I do what I will to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me there is, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find the law that is evil present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of the mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And we're going to save the last verse for just a minute. So if you guys counted right, and I wrote it on my notes correctly, and I'm going to cheat and look at my notes because I already had to count them once. How many times did we see I mentioned? 24 times. 24 times. Is it safe to say that Paul recognized the problem? Let me help you. He was a nasal gazer. Self-centeredness. He was looking at me. I. He was just talking about I. If I do this, if I do that, I do this, I have this, I do this, I do that. It was all I. 24 times in 11 verses, Paul uses the word me and my an additional 11 times in the same verses. Paul was focused on himself. Now, he says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And look at verse 25. He summarizes this and gives us the answer in a few short words. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who's going to deliver me from this? I thank God. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is so focused inward. But then what comes after 7:25, believe it or not, is 8:1. Therefore. Therefore means what? Stop and see what it's there for. Paul just shared his testimony saying, I do this, I want to do that, I can't do this, I, me and my. It was all about him. But he says, therefore, if anyone is a new creation, he's been born again, put over here, there is no condemnation to those who walk according to, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation. See, we like that verse, but we often don't even know how we got to that verse. If we'll begin to figure out what does walking in the Spirit look like, it means simply this. Now, if Romans 8:4, which is the first mention here, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All right? So what does that look like? Look at verse 5 with me. For those who are living according to their flesh set their mind on things of the flesh. Those who are living according to the flesh, here I am, I'm spiritual, I've been born again, I'm righteous and truly holy. There is therefore no condemnation. I'm still going to use me. I know where I'm going with this one. Here I am, I'm born again, I'm righteous and truly holy. And according to this verse right here, for those who live according to the flesh, set their mind on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What do I set my mind on? I'm right here, I'm righteous and truly holy. Now if I set my mind on me, myself, and I, my anything, my Chevy Silverado. If I set my mind on things of the flesh, I reap it. Look at the next verse, verse 6. For to be carnally minded, remember that's fleshly minded, is death. But look at the next part. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Wouldn't we all like a little life and peace? Well, then you've got to be spiritually minded. Now, if you've not been born again, you can't be spiritually minded. But if you've been born again, the only thing keeping you from being spiritually minded is you. This is why, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 10:5 says to bring every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Bring everything captive. Set your mind on things above. That's what my next passage. Let me see if that's what is in my notes too. I know I need us to get there. We're running out of time quickly. And praise the Lord. Walking in the Spirit is not something that you arrive to after a long process of maturing. Now, I'm going to read it again because some of you missed it. Walking in the Spirit is not something that you arrive to after a long process of maturing. It's a decision that you make. Anybody can walk in the Spirit. You have to decide to set your mind on things above. Colossians chapter 3. I don't know how much further in my notes, but I'm running out of time and we got to get there. Colossians chapter 3, 1. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is seated. That doesn't mean way out there in the yonder in heaven 2,000 years from now. It means seek those things which are above where Christ is seated. If you'll come back, I'm going to show you. You're seated next to Him. You're in Him. You're seated next to God. But we got to learn to set our mind there. If you were raised, if you were born again, taken out of there, you're in the kingdom of God. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Seek those things which are above, which where Christ is. Sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. This is when we decide. I'm not going to concern myself with brother know-it-all and sister talk a lot and baby I'm going to smack next week. I don't know where that one came from. That was a freebie. Walking in the Spirit really is a mindset. And this isn't about mind over matter. It's about your mind does matter, though. This isn't mind over matter. It's your mind matters. You do need to be brainwashed. You need to be cleansed. If you're always hearing the world, if everything, I was asked this question, what would my next thought be if I literally was able to not think about anything that was given to me by any news media? Any media whatsoever. I'm not trying to pick on the news media. It's just a place you can grab and most people understand. If I'm going to have my next thought, is it based on something I heard from the media or something I heard in the Word of God? Does that make sense? Because the media will lead me all kinds of directions. They want me in fear over everything. But God said, "Fear not, for I am with you." So how am I going to fear not if God is not with, if God is with me? Because I set my mind on things above. You say, "Pastor, that's too easy. I need steps. I need steps." Well, I'm going to give you 3 steps. All right? This is easy. Step number 1, repeat after me. Look to Jesus. Are you ready? Say it again. Step number 1, look to Jesus. Okay, step number 2, keep looking to Jesus. And step number 3, keep on looking to Jesus. You need 12 steps? It's that simple. See, we've complicated this. This the only way to actually mature is to look at Jesus. And as you look at Jesus, see, this word was written for our learning. And this word, if as we gaze into the word, as we look into the word, we actually see who we really are in Christ Jesus on the inside of us. And when we begin to see that, then we go, just like Jesus did. See, Jesus was in the temple and he was reading and hearing the word. He was reading the word and he's hearing the word. And his lightning fast mind goes off. And he says, "Oh, Isaiah." And he begins to say, "This is it." See, when do we say this is it? Walk in the Spirit, we've made it way too hard, ladies and gentlemen. If you come back next, I don't know if I'll get to it next week, but we'll get to it. It's really easy. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep on looking to Jesus. Set your mind on things above. You're plugged into the power. You're cooking. Let the Word of God brew. Let it stir so you can bear fruit. We're trying to help you to be about the ministry. We're trying to equip you to do the things of God. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, all you're going to do is fulfill the lust of the flesh. Does that make sense? But if we can get each and every one of us to begin to go, "Oh, wait a minute, that's just worldly. I don't need to worry about that. God's bigger. Gas prices are so high. I know, he never knew this was going to happen. Don't drive your car. Stay home. Don't buy a gas stove, even though that's what the wife wants. Because we're going to run out of gas." God did not know. Your God is too small. Let's stand before I blow up. Did you learn anything? Can you set your mind on things above? It's that simple. Let's make a commitment together. I'm going to pray it. You agree. If you're watching, first of all, if you've never been born again, you got to get born again. If you're not in the kingdom, you got to get in the kingdom. And it's this simple. It's real simple. If you've never been born again, it's real simple. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's that simple. And that Jesus, because he already paid the price. Nothing you do, he's not getting back up off his throne, coming down and getting crucified again. Once for all, he's there. You're purchased. He gave his best for you. That's how valuable you are. That's how much he loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling us. We receive you, Lord. We believe, God. We believe you, Lord. We believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we confess him as Lord. We confess Jesus Christ is Lord. He's my Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, for your grace, which is more than enough. Your grace to walk in the Spirit, to set my mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. And I apply my faith to seek you, to find you, to know you. As we begin to continue to grow in this, understanding to walk in the Spirit and what that really means, we're going to look at it some more. We're going to learn not only how simple it is, but practical application. It's time we began to learn what it means to believe God and to believe God. Over and over, as I talk to people, what do you believe in God for? They didn't know they were supposed to, so we're going to help you. Will you believe God? Will you believe God this week for the grace to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of your flesh? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. I just gave you a whole mess of scriptures. It is your choice to either be spiritual or carnal. Because if you're born again, you're born again. And now you get to choose to be spiritual and to mature, or to be carnal and to continue to be driven and led and controlled by your flesh, your carnal mind, the things of this world. What you see, what you touch, what you taste, what you smell, what you feel. Our culture's big on feelings. Oh, gotta respect someone's feelings. How's that working out? Sympathize with their feelings. No, they need to get over their feelings. Get your feelings healed. Let him heal your feelings. Okay, it hurt. Somebody did you wrong. Someone hurt you. Will you let God restore your soul? Will you take your mind off of that hurt? Quit rehearsing it. Quit talking about it. And set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. It was an earthling who hurt your feelings, who did you wrong. And no matter what you do, you can't change that now. It's done. Forgive them. And set your mind on things above. And if you'll do that, you'll walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Because the lust of your flesh wants to get even, or tell them how wrong they hurt you, or all of that stuff. You're still carnal. That's what that is. You're still dealing with fleshly stuff. Jesus is coming back for a white hot bride. He wants a people. 2 Corinthians tells us to come out from amongst them and be separate. Not to touch what is unclean. All through the scripture we see that God's people are to be different. But it's up to us to walk in that difference. Father, we love you and we praise you. I thank you. I pray, Father, that your face would shine upon us. That we would come to the still waters and let you restore our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer or anything, we'll be up here. We'll pray with you. We'll love you and encourage you. If you need some of that meat that's in the freezer,